Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Right after service, we have invites for the fall festival. Our ushers will be by the back door. They've got a stack of them. Take a couple, and if you need a lot more, we've got a stack at the information center. But the number one way people come to an event is not through promotion, not through ads, but through a personal invitation. And our prayer is to have 300 to 500 kids come through here on October 14th. And we're praying that when they and their families come, they sense the presence of God here on our campus. And they would realize there is something different here that I don't sense anywhere else. And it creates in them a hunger for God. And this isn't just a fun event for our kids, okay? This is an outreach to our community. And I want you to be praying, first, God, who should I invite? But also pray for the Holy Spirit's presence to saturate this campus, that as soon as they drive on the lot, they sense the presence, the peace, and the power of God. And grab your invites and invite some people, all right? Amen. Hey, we want to express our sympathies to Bill Haller. His mom, Vi, passed away this week. She's been a longtime member of Radius Church, and he hasn't been able to be with us because of her health for some time. And so, Bill, we're praying for you. And funeral service, the memorial service will be a graveside sometime this week. Not able to have the details down yet, but if you are interested in going, see Bill right after service, and you can get his contact info, and then he can let you know when that is. And do please pray for the family. Amen. How many of you are glad that it's football season? Hallelujah. Well, I thought there'd be a bigger, yeah! There's almost more boos than yays. You know, I love fall. I love summer more, okay, because I love the warmth. The thing that I probably love the most about fall is that means, all right, thank God I can watch football now, okay? I've been without it for a few months. I'd rather have summer, but, you know, that's a good thing to look for in football. But speaking of football, in 1995, the Northwestern University Wildcats shocked the world of college football when they made it to the Rose Bowl tournament, the prestigious tournament. And the reason behind the team's turnaround was their coach, Gary Barnett. And he was determined to prove that kids in the Big Ten's smallest and most academically demanding school, Northwestern University, that they could play football. So what he did to cast vision for it was he ordered a banner, a Tournament of Roses banner, and he hung it in the football house, the football building where they practiced at. He had a silk rose that sat on his desk so every person who came in would see it, and it would remind them of where they were headed. At their very first meeting, kicker Sam Valenzisi says at the first meeting, coach said, we needed belief without evidence. We needed belief without evidence. And he asked him, do you know what that is? And he said, faith. And that faith that took them, plus a whole lot of hard work, took them to the Tournament of Roses. They played in the Rose Bowl. This morning, we're going to be talking of faith, actually not just this week, but for the next few weeks, going to do a series on faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to, say it with, let's show that verse there, Hebrews 11, 6. We have the verse there. I think we're stuck. Does anyone know what it is? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God. And that's why it is so important to know faith, because if we don't know what faith is, we can't effectively please God. And so we want to welcome everyone here this morning, both everyone in the house and those who are online. Thank you for joining us today. And if you're here and you've got questions about faith, maybe this is your first time in church or first time in a long time, you've got questions about faith, about God, about the Bible, about Jesus, this is a perfect time for you to be here, because we're going to be talking about faith and what faith means. For the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at an acrostic of F-A-I-T-H. I just won the spelling bee, okay? Of faith, And we're using that as an acrostic to learn about faith. So let's get rolling this morning. You ready? All right. The Broncos, I know, are the early game today, so we got to get out. No, we're not worried about that. Hey, they're 0-2. They're playing the Dolphins 2-0. You don't want to be disappointed. Okay. I just lost a whole bunch. So, all right. Let's look at the letter F in faith, all right? The letter F stands for friendship. Stands for friendship. Faith is about friendship that is built on trust in the other person. It's about friendship that's built on trust with the other person. If I would ask you to name the top three people in the Bible who had faith, besides Jesus, okay? We know he had faith, but besides Jesus, top three people. I heard Abraham, Moses, Isaac, Peter, okay. What was the very first name that you heard? Abraham. Almost everybody said Abraham. When you think of faith in the Bible, you just naturally revert to Abraham. He's called the father of the faith. But you know, there's another interesting title besides the father of the faith that he's called. We read about it in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And what has taken place is that there are three ungodly nations that have formed a coalition and they're waging war against God's people. When King Jehoshaphat, I mean, isn't that a name? Aren't you glad that you don't have that Old Testament name? You know, it would be really easy for them to think, King, your horse is fat, you know. Yeah. But King Jehoshaphat, when he heard these nations are attacking, he calls a national prayer and fasting assembly. He says, come to Jerusalem. We're going to pray. We're going to fast for deliverance. And when he has everyone together at this meeting, this is what he says in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 6 and 7. He prays. He says, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms and the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? He notes that Abraham was God's friend. I mean, you think about that. That's a power. When I read that, it just kind of sends shivers up and down my spine. Your friend. It's kind of like he's saying, hey, God, you remember your golfing buddy? You know, the guy that you hung out with, you went trout fishing with, you watched the game with, you remember him? No, he didn't really say it, but he said, your friend. It's not like your servant. This was someone you liked, someone you loved, you had a relationship, you were close. He was a friend of God. In your notes this morning, and by the way, they are in the back of your worship program, is that, and I don't think it's in your notes, but you want to write this down. Your friendship with God can impact generations. You see, Abraham was their great, 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 great grandfather. And they're praying, God, remember Abraham? Remember him, your friend. When you have a friendship with God, that friendship can impact generations. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren. That's the power of a friendship with God. We need to develop this friendship with God. What makes a friendship with God? How do we have a friendship with God? James chapter 2, verse 23 gives us the answer to it. It says, the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Abraham was called God's friend. Why? In your notes, number one, faith made Abraham a friend of God. Faith was what made Abraham a friend of God. James is actually quoting from Genesis chapter 15, when God makes a covenant with Abraham. Starting in verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Abram. His name hadn't been changed to Abraham yet. It came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Abraham goes on to say, but God, you haven't given me any kids. What's good being blessed if it's going to end here and it doesn't pass on to my children? All I've got is a servant in my house. And God says, no, I've got a different plan, all right? I've got a different plan. What was that plan? Verse 5, he brought him outside and said, Abraham, look up toward heaven. Count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to them, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed what God said. God credited righteousness to him. And James tells us that because of this belief, Abraham became God's friend. Abraham believed, and he had friendship with God. Now, maybe you're kind of saying, is faith really a friendship with God? Once you consider the most popular verse in the Bible, John 3:16. In fact, if you're watching football today, you might see it, you know, on one of those signs in the end zone. I usually see one at least once every year during the season. But what does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Do you see that? God loves you. He loves us, the entire world. He loves us so much. But the thing is, we have a problem. Our problem is that we are sinners and that sin separates us from God because God is pure, he's holy, he's perfect, and that's his standard. His standard is perfect righteousness to get to heaven. And with sin in the way, all of us are separated from God, and the Bible says the wages of sin is death. We all deserve to die, spend eternity in hell, eternally separated from God. But God loves us so much that when he saw that problem, he sent Jesus, his son, to come to earth. Jesus, who was God in the flesh, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, comes to earth, and he lives a perfect, sinless, holy life, and he dies on the cross for us. He took the wages of sin, death, upon himself, and he's given us the gift of eternal life. And now God freely offers it to all of us. And the way we gain it is that we believe we need a Savior, that we cannot save ourselves. We believe that God loves us, and we have a relationship. We engage in a relationship with him where the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. It's a love relationship, friends. Faith has always been about a love relationship with God, and we enter that relationship through faith, through believing in him. Number two in your notes, faith has always been about God entering into a relationship with us because relationship is based on trust. Faith has always been about God entering in a relationship. He took the initiative because relationships are built on trust. My wife, Rebecca, I love her so much, but I trust her the most of any person in the world. I trust her the most, and she's my closest friend. She's my closest friend because I share more with her than I share with anyone else. This started in Bible college, when we met in Bible college, and really we didn't really meet. The first time I tried to meet her, because you see, I was scoping her out. I could tell she was a woman after God's own heart. She loved God, she pursued God, and she was hot, okay? Still is, all right? And I tried to meet her, and it was at a football game, and she had kind of her eye on this other guy, and I introduce myself, you know, I kind of sit down next to her. Hi, I'm Craig. What's your name? She's looking straight ahead. Rebecca. Rebecca what? Rebecca Larson. Where are you from? Newton, Iowa. Okay, I'm not a genius, but I could tell she was not interested, so I just kind of slid slowly over, and you know, that was it. Yeah. I went to college in North Dakota, so I know what a North Dakota wind is like. She was as cold as a North Dakota wind. Few weeks later, though, she saw that this guy was a jerk, okay? And I was trying to, because I'd already been shot down once, crash and burn. It's like, okay, I can't really do that again because I've introduced myself. And so I was like, okay, I need to bump into her. You know, just kind of like, and so, okay, I stalked her, all right? I learned her class schedule, when she went to lunch, and I'm trying to just bump into her, and it never works. And there was this one time in the cafeteria, I was like, you know, I'm either getting there too early, too late, but she sat down, and I'm coming to the, and it's like from, you see the end of the stage, she's about right there, and I'm walking up, and all of a sudden, the guy on the other side walks in and slips in when I'm about like 6 feet away, and I'm going, ah! I eat my dinner, I leave, and I go, and I see a friend of mine, his name is Randy Knight, and Randy, Rebecca knew Randy, they were good friends, and he said, I was just really deceased. He said, what's wrong? I says, I've been trying to meet Rebecca, sit next to her, bump into her for like 2-3 weeks now, and I almost had it. Told him all about it, and he says, hey, me and Maura, that was his girlfriend, we're going roller skating Friday night. Why don't you go back in there, march back in there right now, and you ask her to go. She knows me, so she'll trust me, and you ask her to go on a double date with Randy and Maura. I says, no, I can't. He says, you got to do it. I says, okay, I'll go do it. I go back in there. I get in. I look, and it's like, she's not sitting down because I was going to just kind of hang out. She's not sitting down. And I turn and look, and I was disgusted. All of a sudden, like 4 feet in front of me, there she is. She had put her tray away. She was done. And so, hi, Rebecca. My name's Craig. Randy Knight and I and some of us, we're going roller skating Friday night. I was wondering if you'd like to go with. I mean, I was just stumbling through it. She said, yeah. And I says, great. And I didn't even know what time. I said, I'll get back to you about the time and all that, right? So that's down. But now I'm going, what have I just done? I mean, she doesn't know me from Adam. I go to Randy and says, man, you and Maura, you're going to have to probably carry the conversation. Because I don't know what's going to happen. So pick her up Friday night. Randy, he's driving, so he and Maura in the front seat. Rebecca and I are in the back seat. And what takes place is we start talking, and we talk, and we talk. And it's like, I mean, it was kind of funny because I happen to look up, and I see Randy looking at Maura, and they're looking back at us, and they're just smiling. I mean, it was like they never had to prime the pump at all, okay? And I dated a few girls, but there had never been a girl who was as easy to talk to as Rebecca. And there was just, I don't know, it was like I could trust her. There was this openness, and over time, we just kept, because there were, we developed trust, we opened up more to the place where about a year after our first date, we went roller skating. During the couple skate, I got down on one knee on skates. Thank God I didn't break a neck, you know, and I asked her to marry me. And that trust has developed this time. But friends, relationships are built on trust. They're built on trust. And the thing is that if you don't have a deep trust in singles, I want you to hear this. If you're looking at marrying someone, this is just extra today. This is gravy on top of the meat and potatoes message. Singles, you need to be able to trust that person with your life. Because marriage is a commitment for life. And if you can't trust them, because you see, you say, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, when we're rich, when we're poor, till death do us part. So many times when couples say that, they only mean when it's better, when it's rich, in health. They don't mean the other side. Can you trust them? Not just when things are going great, but when things have hit the bottom. The bottom's fallen out and you're falling. Then can you trust them? Trust is what relationships are built on. It's what produces an intimate, close relationship. If someone's not trustworthy, you're going to tend to hold them at arm's length. How many have encountered someone who maybe you found they've lied about you, or they've got ulterior motives, they're using you, or someone, maybe they're just downright nasty, they're a bully at school, or maybe hopefully, but maybe some of you have found yourself been abused by a family member or someone else. In those situations, and you found someone who's hurting you, whether intentionally or unintentionally, do you trust them? No. Do you get really close to them? No, you kind of hold your cards close to the chest. You keep it at arm's length. Why? Because relationships are built on trust. They're built on trust. And a great example of this is in point number 3 this morning in your notes. When Adam and Eve trusted what Satan said over what God said, they linked into a relationship with the devil and they walked away from a relationship with God. When you think about it, that God walked in the cool of the garden. They walked and talked with God every day. But when the devil says, hey, why don't you eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? When they believed the devil and they stopped believing God, they entered into relationship with him and they basically walked away from a relationship with God. Unfortunately, they trusted the wrong one. Because God is the only one you can trust. And friends, the devil today is still trying to do that to people around the world to get them to not trust God. He gets them sometimes by looking at Christians, and we're not perfect. And if you're here, you're not a Christ follower, and you've been hurt by Christians, you've been hurt by the church, or you're watching online, I apologize. I'm sorry that's happened to you. But just because Christians have messed up doesn't mean that God's a phony and he's fake. You can trust God. And sometimes the devil, he says, you see, this Christianity is a farce. Look at how the church is. And unfortunately, sometimes the church is judgmental. Sometimes we are hypocrites. We say one thing and do another. Sometimes we get angry and yell at people and cut people off in traffic, or we try to race them to the front of the checkout line at Walmart, and we don't have the love of Jesus, but we're wearing that cross on our chest. And, hi, I beat you. And, oh, yeah, thanks, you're a Christian. The devil also sometimes tells us you can't trust God when you're praying for something and it goes south. A loved one dies, they're not healed. When you lose your job and your finances are on the road, when your kids are just ruining their life, making poor choices, and you see your family falling apart, when it seems like God's not there, the devil says, see, you can't trust God. Why be a Christian? I can't tell you how many stories I've heard of people and stories where I've seen people have walked away from God because of disappointment with God. And what they've done is they've believed the devil. They've linked into relationship with him, not realizing it. They've lost trust in God, and they leave a relationship with God. Friends, faith is about a friendship. Faith is about a friendship with God. And number 4, if you don't trust God, you will struggle in having a relationship with him. The depth of relationship depends on the depth of trust. The depth of your relationship with God depends on the depth of your trust in God. If you don't trust him, if you've got doubts and questions, then that will cause you to kind of, yeah, I'll let you get somewhat close, but you're not going to go deep with God. You're not going to just go all in. You'll keep him at arm's length. That's why Proverbs 3:5, Solomon, the wisest man in the world, he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not part of your heart, not most of your heart, but all of your heart, because he realizes if you don't trust with all, if you're not all in on God, you can't have the depth of relationship that God wants you to have. You can't experience everything that God has for you. God loves you so much, he sent Jesus. And realize this, God cared about your eternal welfare. He didn't want you to go to hell. That's a place he created for the devil and his demons. He loves you so much. If you can trust him with your eternal future, you can trust him with your earthly situation. You can trust him with whatever is going on. So even if it doesn't seem like God cares, if it doesn't seem like he's answering you, you can trust him because he sent his son to die for you. I have pastored here for over 14 years. I know many of you. I love you. But you know what? I wouldn't say that if it came between you and my kids, it's like, well, am I going to have my kid die for you to live? I don't love you that much, and I don't think you love me that much that you'd do that for me, huh? Right? If you've got a choice between your kids and someone else, I mean, the love of a father, the love of a parent, it kind of supersedes everything else. But friends, that's not what God did for us. God said, I love you so much, I'm giving my son for you. Do you realize how much he loves you? So no matter what happens in this life, don't stop trusting and loving God because he's already given us more than we deserve, more than anything else. He saved us from hell. What does it profit someone to gain the whole world for God to answer every prayer request, give you everything you want, but you don't go to heaven? It gains you nothing. Come on. God loves you, friends. He loves you this morning. Amen. I want to talk about just for a moment what faith is not. Okay? What faith is not in your notes, because faith is friendship with God. That means faith is not a religion. Faith is not a religion that's based upon works, based upon what we do. As you read the Gospels, you're going to see quite often that Jesus and the Pharisees were at odds with each other. They kind of butted heads. And the reason behind that is because the Pharisees, who were supposed to be, you know, following God, leading the people to God, God wasn't their passion. They were about power, wealth, affluence. They really had other gods before them. That's what they were pursuing. And Jesus saw that, and they were leading people astray so much that Jesus confronted them on it several times. One occasion we see is in Matthew 23, verse 15. Jesus says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you've succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are." Woo! Boy, he didn't pull any punches there. Verse 27, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You're like whitewashed tombs which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness." Friends, the Pharisees look good on the outside, religious on the outside, following closely all the external laws that were in the Old Testament. But on the inside, they were not following God at all. They're following their own selfish, wicked desires. That's what they were doing. You see, Christianity, faith, is not about a religion. It's not about what you and I do. It's not about what we do. In fact, Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, it says, "All of us have become like one who was unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags." In other words, our good deeds don't clean up our sin. This summer, I was washing my car. We went on a trip, and so it got plastered with bugs. And I don't like taking the car to the car wash and running it through and then putting that sealant on it and sealing the bugs onto the car. I just don't like doing that to my car. So I was washing it by hand to get all the bugs off, and I came to the bottom of the right side, the passenger front door, and you know, I washed that part, and I thought I'd got all good, and when I'm all done, I then take my microfiber towel, and I'm drying the car off. When I get to that same spot where I thought I'd washed, I put it in, and it's like there's this greasy substance that comes out, and I didn't realize it. And I wipe it, and I'm just wiping my car, and all of a sudden, it's like, what's going on? And I look, and it's like, oh, man. I had a filthy rag, and it made a mess. And that's what the Bible says. Your good works are like a filthy rag that just smears your mess and makes it worse. Going to church, praying, taking communion, doing nice things for people, your good works do not get you into heaven. Because God's standard is perfection. And when we sin in one point of the law, we're guilty of it all. You can obey every traffic law, every stoplight, every stop sign, every speed limit to the T, but if you go 30 miles an hour in a school zone when it says 20, and you didn't see the sign, the lights that were blinking that says it's now time to go 20, you're going to get nabbed. I know, I'm speaking from personal experience. Been there, done that. I didn't see the sign. I'm going 30. I was doing my best. I thought I'm right, officer. Too bad. You broke the... But off. There was no use arguing. And friends, most of us have not committed just one violation. We have broken God's law over and over and over. We are guilty. We can't work our way to heaven. We need God's grace. His son dying on the cross, receiving that gift that he gave for us. Religion is spelled do, D-O, where Christianity, faith, is spelled done, D-O-N-E. It's what Jesus has done for us on the cross. In Titus chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, it says, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Friends, good works don't save us, but realize that doesn't mean that you enter this friendship with God and then you just go live the way you want. Good works have a role to play, but they are the result of our friendship with God, not the cause of our friendship with God. Paul wrote that to the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. He says, it's by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Verse 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Faith is not a religion. It's a relationship that changes our lives. As we surrender our life to Jesus and say, Jesus, save me. I want you to be the Lord of my life, the King of my life. Then he changes us and I live differently so that now I don't focus on what I want and live for myself. I'm living for what God wants and I live for others. The greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The second one is love your neighbor as yourself. You really want to know if you're loving God? How do you treat other people? If you're a jerk to other people, then your love for God is not where it should be. And you need to work on your friendship with God and your friendship with others. Faith is about friendship. What's the next thing faith is not? Faith is not Aladdin's lamp, where I always get what I want. Faith is not Aladdin's lamp. You know, some people think of Christianity as like, well, if I just pray and I rub the genie's bottle and out he comes and whatever I ask, he's going to give me. Friends, that's not faith. That's, I'm the master, O genie, of the bottle, and you're going to do what I tell you to do. That's not a friendship. That's not a relationship. That's servitude. That's making you the Lord instead of Jesus being Lord of your life. And yet that's how some people live their life. They think God needs to answer to them. Friends, God doesn't answer to me. God doesn't owe me anything. I owe him everything. Saving our souls is the greatest thing he could do. What does friendship with God look like? I'm going to give you several verses of scripture up here, and I believe they're in your notes. But the first thing that friendship with God looks like is initiative. Initiative. It tells us in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Do you realize God's already taken the initiative to establish a friendship with you? Romans says that while we were still sinners, enemies of God, God demonstrated his love towards us and that he sent his son to die for us. So God's taken the initiative. God, it's kind of like the old pictures of Uncle Sam where you see where I want you, but only it's not a frown on the face. It's open arms where God says with a smile, I want you. I gave my son for you. I love you. I want a friendship with you. He's initiated it. And there are times in my life where I have felt, even as a Christian, distant from God. And you know what I tend to do when I feel distant? I feel like God's not answering prayer. I withdraw from fellowship with him. I stop praying. I stop reading the Bible. I stop taking initiative. You see, and what I need to do is in those times where God's feeling distant and far away, I take initiative and I press him because it's about faith, friendship, not feelings. Too much of the time we live by feelings and not by faith, saying, I've got a relationship. I know that because he loved me. He died for me. And so no matter how I feel, nothing separates me from the love of God. Not height, not depth, not angels, not principalities, not powers, not anything man can do for me. God loves me. He's initiated, and I need to initiate back. Are you initiating relationship with God? That's what it looks like. The second thing it looks like this morning is that there's support and encouragement during trials. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Do you realize God supports us and encourages us in our trials? Sometimes we can't see that, and the devil is speaking lies to us, like he did to Adam and Eve, saying, see, God's not there, and he's wanting us to doubt and not have faith that God is supporting and he's encouraging and that he's working all things together for good. Yeah. And it's in those moments, are you going to believe the devil or are you going to believe God? Believe God and say, God, I don't feel it, but I walk by faith, not by sight, and so you're helping me. I love the psalm that says, God is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. You know what ever-present means? Every single moment, all the time. I need help now. It means he's giving me help right now, even though I don't feel it. And I'm standing on faith that he's there helping me in my problems. That's what faith looks like. You're believing God is helping you when you've got problems, even when you don't see the answer. Yes. Let's look at the next thing. Friendship with God looks like deep sharing. It looks like deep sharing. In John 15:15, Jesus said, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you, what does it say? Friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus wants to fully reveal God to us. He does that through the Holy Spirit. He says, it's important for me to go to heaven and send you another comforter, another helper, because he is going to teach you everything and bring to mind everything. The Holy Spirit, when we become a Christian, he lives in us, and he wants to fully disclose God to us. He wants to share deep things with us. The thing is, for us to receive it, we need to spend time in conversation with him. If we never take time for God, then he's not able to speak into our lives and fully disclose himself. And so realize there's a deep sharing, and that deep sharing goes both ways. God wants you to share what's on your heart. I remember many years ago, there was times I would keep things from God because I thought they were too small, they weren't important enough. Or maybe it was so big and I found myself, I'm just carrying it on my own. And it's like, God, convict me. He says, Craig, you're withholding things from me. You're keeping secrets. He says, do you realize there's nothing too small for me? If I know the hairs on your head, then why don't you give me the small little things that you're just carrying in your life? Give me everything. And the big things, can't I move a mountain? Can you move a mountain? No. Then why are you trying to carry one? Only I can move mountains. Friends, deep sharing with God is bearing your soul to Him and pouring out everything, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, fears, doubts, questions, anxieties, frustrations. It's loving God with everything. God is big enough for you to yell at Him if you're frustrated with Him. And He's big enough when you cry an ocean of tears and He's holding those tears in the palm of His hand and He records every single one. Not a single tear falls to the ground without His knowledge. Share deeply with Him because He wants to share deeply with you. That's the friendship God wants with you. What's the next thing that friendship with God looks like? Gaining good counsel and wisdom. How do I like good advice? I do. I need good advice. Proverbs 27:9 says, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. God wants to give you advice on the situations you're facing at work, with your family, how to navigate problems, how to navigate finances, in all your worries and concerns. God wants to give you good advice. The lasting friendship with God looks like confrontation for growth. We don't like that one. This has been nice up to this point, but really? Come on. Well, what does the Bible say about friendship? It says, Proverbs 27, verse 6 and 17, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Amen. Friendship with God means there's times God, through His Holy Spirit, is going to convict you of things. And He's going to keep shining His searchlight on you, saying, hey, you need to take care of this. And you might feel, no, I don't want you to talk to me about that, God. You've got no right, no business. Friends, He does, because you've been bought with a price. Jesus died for your sin. He's got every right to speak. And just as in all these verses are verses on friendship, God, there's times He confronts us, and it's not to condemn us. It's not to make us feel bad. It's to make us become better. It's to make us become better. It's so that we grow, that we don't stay where we're at, because He knows if these things stay in our life, they can derail our other relationships, our other friendships. They're keeping us from everything God has for us. So do I welcome the conviction, the confrontation of the Holy Spirit that He's bringing to me for growth? This is what friendship with God looks like. I'm taking initiative. I'm pursuing Him. I'm believing that He supports and encourages me no matter what I'm seeing, that I am deeply sharing and receiving from God. I'm receiving His counsel, and I receive His confrontation in my life. As we wrap our message up today, I want to just talk quickly about levels of friendship, and they're listed for you there in your notes. This is based on the four levels of friendship, Where Do You Stand With Your Friend by Anna Lamine. And as we look at these, I want you just to kind of evaluate what level of friendship you're with God at today, all right? Both those in the house, those of you watching online, just evaluate yourself in light of this. The first level of friendship, and really you can't even call it a level, but it is a category, and that is being a stranger, where you really know nothing about the person, and there's no or little communication. I mean, the little communication might be you're at the store and you say, hi. You know, you're just making small talk as you're waiting for a line to open up or something like that. But they're strangers to you. Next level of communication is acquaintances, someone you know, but you have very little connection or communication with. Maybe it's a neighbor next door or across the street. Maybe it's a work associate that you don't really know. You just kind of know their name. They're there. You see them. Maybe you know they're a Broncos fan or a Reds fan because they got it on their workstation or their car. Or they wear the hat, something like that. But you really know nothing about them, and you don't really talk to them that much. The third level of friendship is casual friends. This is a closer connection, but it doesn't involve any emotional intimacy. There's no personal sharing. There's basic details about your life, but nothing that's too personal, nothing really intimate, and maybe you occasionally even hang out, but you don't really feel like that person's of your tribe. You really don't have the same basic beliefs and values and interests. The fourth level of friendship is close friends, where you tell them a lot about yourself, including your personal concerns, and they do that with you. Maybe you hang out and you do things together, you enjoy their company, and you do have common interests and views and aspirations, and there's a pretty good bond there. But there's a fifth level that is the deepest level of friendship, and that is intimate friends, where you trust them with everything or almost everything. These are the kind of people where you share most of your personal problems, your intimate thoughts, your doubts, fears, anxieties. You're just comfortable being yourself around them. Maybe a burp around them. You do that kind of thing. You don't care how you look. If you know your hair is kind of a mess, now you're close. You get each other. You feel totally accepted and understood, never judged or misunderstood, even when you're wrong, but they might confront you, as faithful are the wounds of a friend, and they try to sharpen you. They've got the same beliefs and value in life. They give support when you need it. You really trust them. You rely on them. And there's this deep sharing, and your friendship endures all the challenges, and you keep in contact with them no matter what, even if they move away. And like when you get back together, you just pick up where you were and you can still talk to them and you go deep. Those intimate friends. Friends, where do you see yourself with God today? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your great love for us, that you loved us so much you gave Jesus, that if we believe, we trust you, we put our faith in you, you'll credit righteousness to us, you'll make us children of God, you'll make us friends of God. And you want to have this depth of relationship? Oh, thank you, Father God, for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord. Some of you here this morning in the house or online, as we look at these levels, you would classify yourself as you are a stranger to God. You know little or nothing about Him. You have little or no contact with Him. Maybe the only time you ever talk to Him is out of anger. You're using His name not to address Him in friendship, but as a curse word. Or maybe you don't think about God. You just live your life the way you want to live it. And this morning you realize how much God loves you, how much He wants a relationship with you. And you'd say, Craig, I need this relationship. You know, Jesus' greater love has no one than this, to lay down His life for His friends. And He knew He was going to be dying on the cross. You see, Jesus has called you a friend even before you've accepted that friendship. He died for you, the world. He loves you. And this morning, maybe you've never responded to that. Maybe you're like me. I grew up being religious, going to church, doing all the good things. But even though I did it, God seemed distant because I was trying to reach Him through religion, not through faith. It was what I would do, not what Christ had done. And maybe it's because you feel distant from God because you haven't cared about Him. It's not that you haven't been religious, but you have been just reckless in living a life with no regard for God and His view on right and wrong and how things should go. But this morning, The Holy Spirit is confronting you. He's convicting you. He's drawing you, saying, I love you. The Father loves you. The Son loves you. Will you join us in a friendship? If that's you in the house today, would you just lift your hand? Just put it up high and say, that's me, Craig. I need to be forgiven of my sin. I need to give God control of my life. Just put your hand up and you can put it back down. Thank you. I see that hand there on the side. Anyone else? Thank you. I see another hand on the side. Anyone else this morning? You'd say, that's me. Anyone else today? Maybe those watching online, God is talking to you. He's drawing your heart. You can tell his arms are open, and you'd say, I want that relationship with God. I want to become his friend. Just raise your hand wherever you're at when you're watching us online this morning. Anyone else in the house, you'd say, I need a relationship with God. Put your hand up, and then you can put it back down. I want to say this prayer, and I'd like each of us to repeat this prayer, no one praying alone, all right? Let's say this together. Father God, thank you for loving me. I know that because you gave Jesus to die for my sin. Please forgive me. I put my life into your control. I receive your love and your leadership. I want to be your friend. Thank you for saving me from eternity in hell. Help me to live for you in a deep, close relationship. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.